Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM-ACAM-A4M of NutraMedical.com and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. Josh Bernstein here. A great way to start off the beginning of the week with a boom with the Ninja Warrior of geopolitical analysis. Lots of stuff to talk about. We've got the all-caps craziness of Rouhani and the mullahs that are now being cut off from their mullah. And, of course, I think as in 180 to 190 days, there's going to be a series of sanctions, not just against Iran, but those that deal and do business with Iran. Rouhani is, to me, clinically insane because Trump is not the kind of president you kind of threaten. In fact, I was listening to one of the candidates for president that actually said, you know, he's one of former pastor, right? And he said, you do not attack Trump unless you want to be counterattacked, and he keeps on punching until you're on the ground. So some of those people are going to be stuck with nicknames that are going to stick to them all the way to their gravestone. So, Rouhani, you've been served, as they say. I'd like you to analyze what you think is going to happen, because I'm telling you, if anybody, and this is a warning for the world, this is a prophetic warning, not just a Dr. Deagle warning, and it's in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament, Israel is never going to go down again, never. And I can tell you, part of the reason why America is such a powerful nation is because it's an ally. I consider America Ephraim, the 10 nations which are literally founded, founded America. And Israel is the other, these are the two main, if you want to call it, representations of God on earth. And anybody thinking they're going to attack Israel and get away without not being annihilated is insane. So if Rouhani thinks that they're going to get into Syria and embed themselves and then attack Israel, not only will Iran disappear into a cloud of thermonuclear dust, so will Russia and any of their allies. So they need to understand this, that Israel isn't going down. Okay, and they even have nukes planted in every capital city of the world. So anybody that becomes an enemy of Israel becomes an enemy of living. How's that?
Well, look, I think a lot of people underestimate the power of the Israeli military. And, you know, we remember years ago when Omar was questioned on whether or not Israel had nukes, and he kind of let the cat out of the bag. Israel has had a policy for years since its inception to not disclose whether or not they have those types of things. But we know that they have those types of things. We know that they're the most powerful military in the Middle East, hands down, not even anyone close to that. And yes, they may be the smallest in diameter and the smallest in population, but they're certainly not the smallest when it comes to being able to protect themselves. You couple that with America's might, and, you know, the Iranians have no chance here. And, you know, what the media is not referring to right now is all they're talking about is, oh, my God, President Trump is threatening Iran. Well, wait a minute. Why don't we talk about why he sent that out? He was responding to a remark that was put out earlier by Rouhani that said, quote, America must understand well that peace with Iran is the mother of all peace, but war with Iran would be the mother of all wars. Well, that prompted President Trump to send out what he did in all caps, and it said, never ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever seen before, he wrote. Right. Now, that doesn't mean that he's immediately going to tell the military to get ready and start, you know, bombing, or we're going to do any kind of ground invasion. What we've been working on, and we've been working on this for 10, 15, 20 years, is an overthrow of the mullahs in Iran. We have got things set up, not just in their countries alone, but obviously in Israel and other areas of the Middle East. And there's been conference after conference. And John Bolton was a big, big supporter of the overthrow of Iran. And now he's your national security advisor, folks. So you think that it can't be done. It can be done. I believe it could possibly be done with regime change by 2019 or even 2020. And likely, it won't even be done through a military operation.
Now, let me tell you what I would do. I would put what I call multiple layers. Now, one of the things they accuse the Russians of is, quote, hacking into our power grid, hacking into our air traffic controllers and our water. Everybody hacks into everybody. Nobody does anything because it's only considered another platform for warfare. And any kind of attack on infrastructure is an attack on a nation, no different than a missile or release of a biological weapon. The fact is, Iran are bad actors. They need to know it's the same way as Russia is starting to realize with Mr. Putin. Putin, when he put out this information about Mr. Bill Browder, and he made a mistake in the error. He said it was 400 million. It was actually 400,000. And Browder lied on Fox and tried to say he didn't get any money. They do this sneakily. They do it through arms sales or other, you know, proxy this. We sell you this. We give you this access so I get a pipeline. And Browder got a $1.5 billion out of the deal working with Uranium One and the Russian oligarchs. And he kind of turned on Putin, who was, by the way, for a while his buddy, and we need to realize that there was absolutely no evidence that the Russians hacked into the DNA servers. This was a disgruntled Bernie Sanders supporter, Seth Rich, who was murdered by an ATF and FBI officer. I have my own classified sources for this, that killed Seth Rich because he was going to reveal information about the dirty deals going on between the Clinton Foundation and Podesta, et cetera, who got a lot of money as well, separately, and the Russians. And these are all working deals with all kinds of people in Russia. Russia right now is coming to the table because their economy is teetering. I've heard from my sources that Russia will run out of its public monies by the end of November, and Mr. Kim Jong-un by October. The only thing propping them up is the Chinese, and the Chinese are coming to the table because their stock market's already dropped 25%, and Xi and this is a really strange thing, but it's true. Although these two nations are communists and are dictators for life, in a sense, and we have a populist president who's got more support every day, literally, 45% overall and 88% in the Republicans, the fact is that they're all against the New World Order. And the New World Order are bad boys. These are bankers, globalists, and they're against the State of Israel. They're against the idea of sovereignty in European nations like Italy and Hungary. And what's going to happen here is Rouhani is going to get a wake-up call. Now, if I was the one, and I would say I'd be a much more aggressive than even Trump, I would not only cut him off immediately, not 180 days from now, I'd also start dealing with these European nations and others that are trading with Iran, and I'd put damn sanctions on them. And then besides that, I would literally have a military action plan to use space-based weapons to take out the mullahs in there when they're in session. And I would hand weapons and satellite phones over to the rebels that want to take over the country. Easy sneezy. This is not a big deal. This could be done very easily in a matter of a couple months, and Rouhani and his bunch of yahoos be either in prison or facing a very long conversation with Allah or whoever they believe in.
Well, I think that from a military standpoint, I would agree with you. It would be quick. It would be pretty easy. It would be very precise. And it would be over, you know, before you knew it, for sure.
Yeah, before the fall. It should be done quickly.
Exactly. The other part of this is the fact that China right now, financially, is not going to step up and do anything because they're also $21 trillion in debt. They're having their own issues with manufacturing and production and construction and all those different things. Russia, as you mentioned, is also suffering financially. Really, the two strong economies here are the United States and Israel. Israel is doing fantastic. They've got all kinds of technology that they use, cell phone technology that they spread out throughout the rest of the world that people are buying and that they're creating. They're actually a competitor, if you will, of China and the United States, but they're doing it in a way in which they're not taking their money and putting it towards globalism causes and things like that. They're putting it back actually into their military. So, look, I think the bottom line is that I don't think anything's going to happen right now or anything like that. I know that John Bolton said that he had a conversation in the last several days with the president, and they both agree that if Iran does anything at all to the negative, that they will retaliate as, quote, few countries have ever done before. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Right now it seems like a little saber rattling. It seems like a war of words for now. I don't think you're going to see ground troops. I don't think you're going to see drone strikes or anything like that.
I agree, but I think that the next phase is sanctions against those who do business with Iran, because that's a real pushing point. But I honestly think that this tough talk is the same kind of tough talk about Rocket Man before Trump sits down with Rouhani. I guarantee you the next step is by the fall, he's going to sit with Rouhani and they're going to have a face-to-face, and Rouhani's going to find out that Trump is no pushover. And he wants to actually things to stabilize, but he's going to give them a walking list, and if they don't do it, well... The next thing, of course, is getting rid of security clearances for a whole bevy of people. I'm amazed. Give your presentation on this, because honestly, this is something that should have been done a long time ago. The fact that Brennan can opine and spin intel information from current intel people that are still inside the swamp, inside these intel agencies, trying to cover their butt. That's why they basically released this latest document that Tom Fitton got. But it's recruited so much. You look at it, it's like, well, where's the text? It's just black lines on a page. It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
And here, Brennan can actually spin and opine after he's contacting current intel agency people that are still part of the swamp, and then spin it through MSNBC or CNN and get kudos and money for it. This is ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not even a swamp. You know what it is? It's a snake pit. And if you have a whole bunch of poisonous snakes sitting in a pit, you don't just continue to feed them and keep them alive. You take a bomb and you drop it in the middle of them and you blow them all up. That's what you do.
Right.
You kill them and take them out in one shot. Now, I'm saying politically. Now, so here's what this is saying now. It says President Trump is looking into revoking the security clearances of several top Obama-era intelligence and law enforcement officials. They said, obviously, based on the recommendation of Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, that he would like to see immediately John Brennan's revocation of security clearance because he feels he was, quote, monetizing his clearance. I agree with that. It now also says, I guess when Sanders was pressed a little in her briefing, she said that the list is longer than Brennan and it would include former FBI Director James Comey, former Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, former CIA Director John Brennan, former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, and former Director of National Security Michael Hayden. I would also add Peter Stroke to that, Lisa Page to that. I would add to that certainly Rod Rosenstein, and I would add to that Robert Mueller. If you want to end this witch hunt, all you got to do is just revoke their security clearances. Now they cannot continue to do their work. I think that would be a wonderful idea, and I think he should do it immediately.
And that should happen to Rosenstein as well, who decided to spy the award, and even Mueller. I mean, if you take away the security clearances, their game is over, isn't it?
It's over immediately as soon as he does that, as far as I can tell in my research. So I think what we ought to do is if he does that, then there'll be a big uproar from the left. They'll say that it's obstruction of justice and, you know, impeding the flow of an investigation. But it won't matter because they won't have the ability to do anything because their security clearances are going to be just as much as, you know, a soccer mom or someone working at a grocery store. And they won't like that at all because they're not going to feel so big, strong, and important anymore.
Right. Amazing, isn't it?
It is. And I don't know why it wasn't done. It should have been done a long time ago. You know, look, if someone hits you in the mouth, do you sit back and you say, can I have another? Or do you fight back? And I think you fight back. And I think that President Trump is willing to fight back. But most of the people around him have not been willing to fight back, and that's really the problem. And I would say this as well. I think that when Bannon left the White House, lots of things changed, and they weren't for the good. He became a little more softer, not necessarily the president, but the people around him became a little bit more softer. And I would hope that he would bring Bannon back into the fold, because I think Steve Bannon did a fantastic job of keeping everything, you know, copacetic, number one, but number two, keeping the agenda going and flowing, and, you know, really he was...
And confronting people inside the Beltway and inside the White House, including even other family members of Trump, that go off on a tangent. You know, whether it's his daughter Ivanka or even his son-in-law, who've done a great job of the social media for the election and where he campaigned, they've had... too free, as they say, loose lips sink ships. And there's too many loose lips in the White House, isn't there?
Oh, gosh, yes, there are. I mean, I've said this on your show and many other shows. He should have fired 500 to 1,000 former Obama officials immediately at the first leak. He should have brought them all into the White House, into a conference room, and said, look, I don't know where these leaks are coming from. I can't tell who's doing it. So because of that, I've made a decision to fire every single person from the other administration. Sorry, pack your stuff and get out immediately. And then I would have ran with a skeleton crew that I could trust rather than a larger crew that I couldn't.
Yeah. In fact, you should have played about a 5-minute clip of some of his best apprentice shows.
Yeah, exactly.
And then at the end, I'd show a close-up of him with his finger in the air and say, you're fired.
Yeah, he was very good at that.
Oh, yeah. He was even better at it than Arnold Schwarzenegger, who took over the job and didn't do nearly as good as President Trump.
He would say, you're fired.
He did a good job, but not as good as Trump. Trump is, the more I watch him, the more I realize how unique he is.
He's very unique. He's politically incorrect. He's bold. He's brash. He's in your face. He's unapologetic. When have we ever had a breath of fresh air type of president like that that doesn't sit there? And he even mocks it. Like, if you ever notice in some of his rallies, he'll go, I could be presidential. He's like, what's presidential? And he goes up to the microphone, he pretends, and he goes, hi, everyone. Okay, blah, 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 blah. And he, like, mocks how it would be.
Yeah. You know what the best stand-up comedian for Trump is? Trump. These other people try to do stand-up comedy about Trump. And the best stand-up comedian for Trump is Trump himself.
Exactly. I know. Really, he could do stand-up comedy after the White House.
Well, exactly. Actually, I think, you know what I think he should do? I think he should do a bunch of stand-up comedian clips and put it up on Twitter or Facebook. And just, less than 5-minute clips of just kind of mocking the foolishness of the left and everybody who thinks he's not doing a job, when in like a year and a half he's done more than maybe the last 50 years of presidents in almost every field you can imagine.
And he did that when Kavanaugh was chosen. He put a video out and he trolled the media. I don't know if you saw it, but it was awesome. He was completely trolling the media. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This isn't your pick, it's my pick. And it was just wonderful. Someone that gets in your face like that. I don't know. It's like we've got Joe Pesci for president. It's wonderful.
It's right. It's like this, I know a lot of people are afraid of him. Yeah. He's fearful for their life. But guess what? I really appreciate he's my uncle and he's part of the family.
Exactly. Exactly. He's like a mob boss. But he's a mob boss.
He's my mob boss. He's my uncle. Guy. That's right. No one bothered me because I know Uncle Trump is there in my corner.
Exactly. And Bannon was the consigliere,
I think you should bring him back. Honestly, I do. I think you're right.
You really should bring him back.
Because I'll tell you what, if that, you know how the media are bobbleheads, have you ever seen a bobblehead shaking so hard that the head pops off and rolls around inside your car? The media will completely lose it if Bannon comes back.
Oh, my God. I would love that. You know what? I hope what happens is when he's reelected... And the first thing he does during his speech, he goes, and by the way, America, I'm bringing Steve Bannon back. That's what he should do. He should do that on the first day that he's reelected.
Yeah, you know what? I want to put together a little project called the Samuel Project. I want people like yourself.
Make Burka his chief of staff.
Yeah, I'm talking about I call the Samuel Project. People like yourself, Josh, Deagle, John W. Spring, Lowell Ponte. and just have us kind of bring up topics for a half an hour everywhere with Trump by video. And just kind of say, hey, let's just kind of do a little comedy, a little talking reel with Trump. I call it the Samuel. So, Josh, we have lots of cool stuff going on. I honestly think as we're heading toward the desperateness of the Democrats is almost, I mean, I watch Fox News and to see some of the people, because they like to bring on people from the left. I mean, some of these people on the left, I don't even want to mention their names because I don't want to give them any kind of cachet, but when they go on to Tucker Carlson, Tucker is trying to hold himself from actually laughing so hard he's going to get a hernia. When I watch some of these people on there, it's like, ah, man, do you really want to say that? I mean, we see your face. We know who you are now. You can actually, as a human being, say that kind of stuff?
Fox News would get better ratings if they didn't interview liberals. And I know what you're thinking immediately.
I don't like that.
They're supposed to be fair and balanced. They're supposed to have both sides. But you know what? Why have both sides when CNN doesn't have both sides, MSNBC doesn't have both sides, ABC doesn't have both sides, NBC doesn't have both sides, CBS doesn't have both sides? So why not have one channel that doesn't have both sides when all the rest of them...
That's why I have the fast forward
button. The ratings would triple if they did that.
When I see the faces of some of these people, I say, no, I'm not listening. And I zip through it until I see their face disappear on the screen when I know the other person is a rational, conservative person or just a normal person says it. But I can't. I look at the people and I say, no, not that one. And I'm at speed 3 or 4, fast forwarding it through the garbage that they want to say. It's like, no, I'm not into, geopolitical visual abuse. I'm not going to do it today.
Yeah. It's incredible because, again, most people that go to watch Fox News, at least back in the day, they went there because they wanted a different point of view, a different opinion of things, and not the same liberal diatribe that they hear everywhere else, right? So what happened? That was what Fox News was all about. And then over time, they slowly went further and further and further to the left. And now you turn it on, and it's CNN Lite. So that's why their viewership has suffered.
I think so. And one of them, for example, is this one. I'm going to mention her name, Kathy Aru. They call her the liberal Sherpa on Tucker Carlson. And the latest one, and you have to be sitting down to hear this, but they're pushing now this idea that until age 4, you don't tell a boy or girl baby that they're a boy or girl. You call them a baby. Okay? It's so sick. It's like, and then he's trying to say, for the human beings going to last 10,000 years plus,
It
is emotional child abuse. And of course, these children become abused if they ever go to preschool, usually in a year or two, because they go there and they say, well, the other boys and girls will abuse them because they don't know what group they're going to fit in with. So, now I don't really find it funny to see Tucker Carlson trying to hold back laughing. I think it's kind of like shocking that we give him even a voice. I don't think we should give him a voice. I think the irrationality that abuses people of all ages, from the disabled, to young babies, to the elderly, to anybody. And most of these situations now with things like Ocasio-Cortez, and I'm going to I call it remote psychiatric diagnosis. The woman is manic depressive. She's a typical, we call, social communist who has not studied history. Obviously, she admitted that when she had that interview on, I think it was MSNBC.
Right. She's and, like, I'm not good on geopolitical policy.
And that's what she studied at college. It's like, are you kidding me? If you're trying to run into public service, you better understand things. Like, for example, you and I, if we wanted to, which I don't want to, if I wanted to run for public service, at least I have the background and the experience as a doctor and doing media for, a decade and a half, I could do it because I have enough experience to actually represent people of all types and ages and colors and skins and religions, and I could do it. But when you automatically admit that you don't know what you're doing, why are you doing it then?
Exactly. And Ocasio-Cortez's experience has been wearing skimpy outfits and asking whether or not you want it shaken or stirred. I mean, that's it. She's been a bartender. That's it. She's never done anything else in politics. And now all of a sudden, she's going to be possibly in the U.S. Congress. That is insane when you think about it. On the flip side of it, it's good because it shows that anybody can do anything that they want to do. But on the other side of it, you've got people that are unintelligent, that are unaware, and that do not know and have a grasp of any of the issues in which they're going to be voting on and supporting or not supporting.
Well, I would say
ridiculous.
I think what you're demonstrating is that modern universities now across America need to be defunded, primarily because the left preaches anti-intellectualism, anti-logic. They believe that you should emotionally abuse other people that disagree with you rather than dialoguing to find a solution. For example, you and I have talked about the idea of reverse income as a logical thing in workfare rather than welfare. We've talked about the idea of national health care, but not a top-down system like Canada or Britain that kills people. A system where the money goes to the county, and you hire doctors and nurses, and you pay them a wage, and that's it. You don't have fee-for-service and other garbage. You don't have a state licensing authority. And you allow alternate pathways for people to become health providers. So if a medic has done 5 or 10 tours, and they know how to put chest tubes and everything, and they can study the database to understand what it is to be a doctor or surgeon, and they go to a surgical center to prove that they actually have the skills, damn it, they're a surgeon. And my impression is that the healthcare system throws away people, especially as they get older, because they can't afford to work full-time. Like, I don't want to work full-time. So I'd want to have, like, I wouldn't want to be killed with the cost of malpractice insurance. Malpractice is primarily to keep these attorneys rich, when really everything should be mediation. We know who's acting bad, even within the medical community, and a lot of times they're top-notch this and that surgeons getting away with murder, and the regular little guys that are not in a big giant group of 500 doctors with a battalion of attorneys get harassed. I went through it. I can tell you. What you have is a system where we could easily fix it, make it affordable for everybody, and it's not socialism, and it would be between you and your doctors, okay? And we don't want a top-down system like Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Santa Claus has, because it'll kill you. It won't allow innovation, and that's the reason why American healthcare, in many of its aspects, is the best in the world, because it allows innovation. Nowhere else are you going to find this. Nowhere else.
Right. And their goal, by the way, with us being $21 trillion in debt, is exactly that, Sanders Care, Medicare for All. You're talking about a $2.3 trillion spending program in order to do it. You want to talk about bankrupting this nation? We're already bankrupt. That would take us down to the third world level.
Yeah, you don't need to do that at all. If I cut out malpractice and state licensure, I allowed alternative pathways. We hired people by the county, not the state. We want to depoliticize health care. The healthcare politicized is dead,
right. Deadly,
okay? The same way as welfare is deadly if it's politicized. We don't want welfare politicized. We want to have a reverse income so that if someone's earning $9 an hour, you don't go and hit their employers and say, you got to pay them 15 and then it puts them out of business. You top up their wage, but they have to prove they're working. So everybody needs to work. That would also stop these little families of black girls and Hispanic and so on with one child or two child or five children getting more and more welfare payments by keeping a man out of the house. That's the reason why these young boys are in gangs. I mean, don't we understand this is the geopolitical messing that we're doing is creating the social disasters, right?
Right. Yeah, look, I understand. And then you talk about health care. I mean, we need more portability. We need more health savings accounts. We need to do a loser pay system when it comes to suing a doctor. If you sue a doctor, you better be able to prove that there's damage there. Otherwise, that doctor should be you.
I don't think there should be suits at all. I think suits should stop. I think we mediation. We have a mediation pool, and we stop all this craziness. You know, in the state of Oregon, there's no limitations. It's a lawyer system, so these damn lawyers can make multiple times a doctor's entire life earnings in one lawsuit, which might have been caused by the patient being too sick to even have a surgical procedure, or disaster happens just by chance because we're all human. You know, do we not understand that if you're going to deal with thousands of patients? I remember talking to the head of neurosurgery in Colorado, teaching at the university, because I was a preceptor for medical students and residents for years, that she couldn't do certain procedures because she couldn't afford the malpractice.
Exactly.
Even though she was the head of the department of neurosurgery at the university. Yeah. How crazy is that?
$400,000 a year on average. for medical malpractice insurance. That's why these doctors and these hospitals and these administrators are going broke, because they have to pay these exorbitant amounts of money in order to protect themselves. If you took that money out of that system and you gave it to the doctors and then you did a mediation, all-around mediation, like you said, the insurance companies...
Find if they're deficient in an area by doing constant testing, send them back to retrain them, etc. So, Josh, you have something about vaccines you want to talk about? Because this is another main picking bone thing that I've been gone for years. I can tell you, most of the vaccines are out there are dangerous, toxic, and the surveillance by the Congress that's supposed to be going on, you've got a big story on this. Tell us.
Yeah, this is just amazing stuff, really. I mean, there's a recent lawsuit that, coupled with a Freedom of Information Act request, has uncovered some very, very disturbing and unsettling information about our U.S. government. Our government has been lying to us, as usual, and this is not a shocker, of course. But what is a shocker is what I'm about to tell you. The Health and Human Services secretaries, for the past 30 years, okay, for the past 30 years, have been forced to admit publicly that they have not filed the required vaccine safety reports with Congress. You ready for this? For the last 30 years. The lawsuit filed by a company called ICANN, or the Informed Consent Action Network, and counseled by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the nephew to JFK, who is big in environmental and health-related services, they basically filed this lawsuit because they had a feeling that this was the case, and then they filed a Freedom of Information Act request, and they were forced to admit, our U.S. government was forced to admit, that they did not, under any circumstances, follow the guidelines and the bylines of the 1986 law, which was the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, in which it made taxpayers liable for injuries by vaccines and not the manufacturers. So what happened back in 1986 is the manufacturers were coming out with vaccines. The vaccines were injuring people. And because they were getting injured, they were obviously doing what? They were going to lawyers and they were suing the manufacturers who made these vaccines. Well, eventually there were so many lawsuits against these vaccines that the vaccine manufacturers went to Congress and said, excuse me, Congress, but we're being sued out of existence here, so we're going to stop making vaccines, we're going to cut off your money trail, your big pharma lobbyist money trail, and not make any more vaccines unless you do something about this and protect us. So what did Congress do? They caved to the big money of big pharma. They changed the law. They wrote this law. It's signed in by law by Ronald Reagan. And what it did is it took away the responsibility of the manufacturers for injuries and, believe it or not, put it on us, we the people, taxpayers. They created a separate entity that dealt with vaccine injuries, which is called VARS. And VARS is very terrible, to be quite honest. It doesn't even really work very well. There's all kinds of appeals every time that there's someone puts a claim in and everything else.
But and that's a vaccine court, which is completely useless.
Yeah, it is. And not only that, as part of the 1986 law, it required that the Secretary of the Health and Human Services submit a biannual report to Congress detailing the improvements in vaccine safety made by HHS in the preceding 2 years. HHS stonewalled ICANN for about 8 months, refusing to provide any substantive response or documentation. When they finally did turn over the information, shockingly, ICANN discovered that not even one safety report was ever filed. This is a story that should be everywhere. Why it's not, I don't know. But I'm going to blow it up starting tonight.
Well, I wanted to do some video on this sometime this week because I think it's important that people understand that here in California, Richard Pan, this crazy doctor, pediatrician,
this guy
is a maniac. Okay, and you look at him and say, this guy looks like manic, narcissistic, psychotic, and he wants to force everybody to vaccine. If they have a vaccine for me or my family, and by the way, 2 years from now, this is another thing that's tied to the vaccines, the National ID 2020 comes up just before the elections. And part of it is forced vaccination of not only children for school, but adults. And in the pipeline, they have 271 vaccines. Do you think you're going to have health after 271 vaccines? Forget it. It's going to be a way of...
No, Pan is a psychopath, and I'll say it. Let me repeat that for anyone listening, right-wing watch. Senator Pan in California is an absolute psychopath. He should have had his medical license revoked probably 50 years ago or 20 years ago. I don't know. He's probably in his 40s or 50s. He is a downright psychopath communist. And he wants to not only enforce everybody to have vaccines, but he wants to revoke a parent's right to opt out of vaccinations. Imagine that. He wants to go and tell parents that you can't have your kids in school because of you don't want them to have vaccines. That guy, Pan, is a psycho.
Yeah, I don't understand why. You know, another nation that tried this, and the new populist the team in Italy is trying to get rid of 10 vaccines. That if you don't have all these 10, you can't go to school in Italy. And they don't give any, there's no opt-out at all. You either have the vaccines or you don't go to school.
Well, like I said, these leftists that want to control our health care, and you know, it's amazing to the left. You talk about abortion, and they're like, oh, it's our body, it's our right, blah, 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 right? But meanwhile, they want to do what? They want to force vaccinations that can kill us on all of our people. Look, I'm not so anti-vaccination, but I've done a lot of studying on it.
I interviewed
Randy Vaughn, who was a former whistleblower, worked for Merck Pharmaceuticals and was part of the Vioxx debacle that killed killed thousands of people through lawsuits and everything else. And she turned into a whistleblower. I have interviewed her. I have seen the damage that some of these vaccines that now we find out that Congress hasn't even looked at in 30 years. The entire industry needs to be resettled and changed.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about Trump dealing with Mr. Bezos over at Amazon? Trump is clobbering the Washington Post over a claim he's impatient with pace of North Korean nuke talks. I mean, Bezos thinks he can be a political activist just because he's a billionaire and he has a big company. This is something that people need to realize is not politically acceptable, is it?
No, it's not. And look, he's been going after Bezos for a long time, and you know, maybe they're rivals because they're billionaires, and obviously Bezos is worth a lot more than the president, of course. But I think that this guy bought a horrific paper that was dying and is still dying, and it's being used as a mouthpiece against the Trump administration. You know, I call it the Washington Posterior. Because I think that's about what it is quite frankly. They've never put out an objective piece since Trump has been in office, ever. They're a disgrace to journalism, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm proud to say that.
I got another one I want to throw before we close off today. What would Hillary in the House go? The poor woman, you know, honestly, I would provide her a free consultation if her and her team contacted me. She's dying of end-stage Parkinson's disease, which is going to cause an aspiration pneumonia. She's walking around totally exhausted all the time. It's no wonder she didn't campaign in the other Rust Belt states, because if she had any good advisors, which she didn't, she spent a fortune. And she had some issues to actually make people think, well, maybe we should vote for her because she has zip-all personality. Bill had personality, at least. She has none. But the fact is, a poor woman is dying. And she still is being treated by these knucklehead doctors and walking around now, even doing interviews on television in a house coat. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Not only that.
It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a couple things about Hillary. Number one, I don't care what she says. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what her advisors say. I don't care what anyone around her says. There is no way, and I'll put my career on the line, there is no way that she's going to run in 2020 for president.
She doesn't have the strength.
She doesn't have the strength to pull the lever at the bingo rectory, okay? Let alone run for president. The only thing that she's running to is going to be the morgue. I agree with you. I believe she's very ill. I believe she's very, very sick. And again, no. The other reason she's never going to run is because the Democrat Party won't allow it. They did a poll and they said they don't want anyone like Bernie Sanders or anyone like Hillary Clinton running again. And by the way, she would be considered in today's Democrat Party to the right of Ronald Reagan.
Right.
Okay. They want this far wacko socialist. 42 of them are running for House seats in this election.
Well, they have to figure an alternate job because they're not going to get elected. The American public are not that stupid. They listen to programs like yours and mine. They actually have a brain. They want to have money in their pocket. They want to have rational health care that's affordable and their doctor under control. They don't want to be vaccinated to death. They want ICE. They want the borders controlled. They want us to have a strong position in the world against dictators like Putin and Xi and get things to work out. We want and don't want to have a thermonuclear war. We want the Rouhani regime gone so they don't attack Israel because these people are a control freak. The peacock nation are control freak maniacs, and we need to tame the peacock. How's that?
Tame the peacock.
Tame the peacock.
Politics. I love it.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.